12 archetypes of Saint's role. The appearance of a new painting in the Temple of the Keeper did not go unnoticed. The disciples welcomed each sample of objective art with joy, for each such painting was intended to help them gain knowledge, and the master acted as a wise guide on this path. They waited for his appearance, looking with awe and enthusiasm at the canvas depicting a large triangle with its apex pointing upwards. In the center of this triangle were different animals. One was located at the top of the image and three more on each of the sides. There were 12 in total. Each animal had an inscription that perfectly reflected its inner essence. At the very top of the triangle was the vulture priest. Just below, on the right side, was the noble stag in knightly armor. Even lower was the friendly dog wagging his tail happily. Even lower was the cunning fox. And in the bottom right corner of the triangle was the lion leader in a royal robe. If one looked down from the top of the triangle, from the top with the vulture priest, one could see the white crow on the left side of the triangle, then the working horse laden with papers and documents, and even lower, the faceless fish with glasses, behind which there were no eyes and no face at all. In the lower left corner of the triangle was the goat of redemption, scapegoat. A sharp arrow stuck in its back, a sticker with the words "Kick Me" on its side, and the imprint of someone's boot on its fur all confirmed the inscription. At the base of the triangle, between the goat of redemption and the lion leader, from left to right, were depicted the lazy pig asleep on the couch, snuggled with fast food, the flattering jackal frozen in an ingratiating pose, and the jester rooster in a red hat with bells. Each animal was drawn so expressively that it seemed to embody all the qualities, characteristic of its status in the hierarchy.
I wonder what it means.
A short, russet-haired girl asked, looking at the painting with wide-open blue eyes.
There are 12 of them, but it doesn't look like the signs of the zodiac.
Doesn't look like a Chinese horoscope either,
said the thoughtful, curly-haired boy.
I don't think the master has told us about that yet.
He has often spoken of tamas and rajas.
The girl answered him, pointing to a smaller triangle, which was inscribed inside the larger one and had its apex upwards. On that vertex, it was inscribed, Sattva, wisdom. The two vertices at the base of the triangle also had their inscriptions. The vertex on the left was labeled Tamas, inertia. Next to the vertex on the right was Rajas, activity. At that moment, the keeper of knowledge appeared in the hall, and the students turned to him, joyfully tuning in to the upcoming spiritual conversation. When he came closer, greeting the gathered with a warm, sparkling look of love, kindness, and wisdom, the very blue-eyed, russet-haired girl who had just led the dialogue stepped forward.
Master, we have a new painting here.
She addressed him, looking respectfully at the master.
We have examined it. There are 12 animals, and we have noticed that all of them occupy a certain place, and it is somehow connected with Rajas, Tamas, and Sattva. But what is this hierarchy? Please explain.
The girl finished, and all the students looked at the wise man with expectation, so that they could listen to his answer as attentively as possible.
Melissa, today we will talk about Saint's roles.
He began, and a mysterious smile appeared on his lips.
Scientists have observed the behavior of insects and revealed an interesting feature. For example, termites, ants, or bees alone did not know what they should do, how to behave, or what to do. They tramped aimlessly in place and could not do their usual work to collect nectar, build a home, etc. Then scientists gradually began to add insects, making them groups of relatives and observing their behavior. They found out that even when there were two or three congeners together, they also senselessly trampled next to each other. But at one point, the number of the group reached a threshold. A conscious force made the insects work together in harmony. They created and protected their dwelling, collected nectar, and arranged something. Roles were distributed purposefully and in a unified manner, without regard for age or experience.
A slightly overweight, curly-haired boy raised his hand.
Master, are you saying that the same thing is happening in humans?
He clarified, when the wise man nodded in his direction.
Exactly, Anthony.
He confirmed unequivocally and began to explain in detail.
The same laws operate in human society. When two or three people meet, their relationship is not expressed. But among 12 or more people, everyone's roles are already visible. And such distribution happens according to a clear energy scheme.
The sage pointed with his open palm at the picture with a triangle.
In each group, there appears its leader and all other roles. This is how the universal law of the pyramid works. Knowing it, you can balance the energies within yourself. But not only that, you can also understand what a holistic, successful team should be like, how a group should be assembled to be successful.
Great, Master. It turns out that such a structure is in every group of people. And it doesn't depend on what group I understand correctly, right?
Anthony asked.
It can be a wild tribe or a modern office.
That's right,
nodded the sage.
In any group, in any team, there is such a division. This is the law of the universe. In our world, the manifestation of energy is like a ray of light.
The sage explained with a hand gesture that the ray shines from its source and illuminates a specific area in front of it.
So it is with cosmic energy. It comes from a single point and manifests itself in all the diversity of the earthly world. In the structure of any collective, this diversity is also manifested. These 12 archetypes reflect all the diversity of entities. The top corners of this pyramid are the main roles, which necessarily exist in any society. We cannot do without them.
A slender, graceful woman with a stern face and an attentive gaze came forward.
Wise teacher, tell me, what are these 12 archetypes? After all, each of them has its own important meaning, right?
Yes, Irin. Each sans role is the energy of a person's gunas and chakras. It is not directly manifested in society, but in the image of one of the 12 archetypes. Look at this triangle.
The keeper pointed to the illustration.
You see, all the energy is distributed on the sides of this equilateral triangle. The apex of the triangle corresponds to the archetype of the wisest in the collective. He can be called a philosopher, a priest, a prophet, a shaman. This is the one who has a connection with God, egregor, spirit. It is this vulture priest that keeps the scriptures of the egregor of this particular group. That is, its principles, statements, laws. And there is always one such person in a group.
Irene raised her hand again, going to ask the next question.
Great sage. It turns out that at the top of the triangle is the smartest person in the group?
The sage smiled and shook his head.
Not necessarily,
he replied.
For example, in ancient tribes, even a man who was not particularly bright, but who was sensitive and had a connection with the spirits of the clan, could become a vulture priest. The spirits appointed him a shaman after the death of the old chosen one.
And in the modern world?
Irene clarified.
In any collective, there's a person who pursues its interests at the mental level. Such a person can be a mentor, a teacher, an educator, but only within this collective, within this group. He is not a guru in the global sense, as he is closed only on the culture and customs of his society. He is a carrier of the spirit of this society and can initiate people.
Initiate?
The girl looked at the sage in surprise.
What do you mean?
That is, to include people in the egregor of a group, collective. But he cannot release them, exclude them from the egregor.
The sage shifted his gaze to the picture and pointed with his hand to the lower right corner.
The lion leader is another significant role. This is the archetype of the chief, the leader of the collective. He is always right and leads the people forward, not upward, like the vulture priest. The lion leader in the group is also always alone. This is the most rajasic person, as opposed to the most sattvic vulture priest. The leader is action-oriented and spurs the collective to action. He reigns, gives mercy and punishments.
Teacher, tell me. But the priest, he also leads people.
Irene began her new question.
Doesn't it happen that he and the lion leader begin to share power?
A good leader is guided by the spiritual guidance of the vulture priest,
explained the keeper.
But at the same time, the lion leader is given the archetype of the lion for a reason. He is indeed often inclined to compete with the vulture priest in achieving glory, to be self-willed, vain, and egotistical.
Satisfied with the sage's answer, Irene nodded and looked at the painting.
Master, you said that at the top of the triangle are the most important roles.
She hesitated, and waving her hand in the direction of the left corner, looked at the keeper with bewilderment.
But can the goat of redemption be compared in importance with the lion leader or vulture priest?
Such a person is cosmically necessary,
the sage replied with calm confidence.
No coherent collective can exist without him.
But as far as I understand, he has the strongest concentration of tamasic energy, which means that he is the most inert in the collective.
The girl wondered.
Wouldn't such people pull the group backwards?
That's the archetype of the fool.
The sage began to explain.
As priest and leader, he is alone in the collective. In the past, every village and monastery had its own fool. Yes, indeed. This is the most tamasic person, and he serves as a discharger of tension, both on the subtle and physical plane. All the bumps fall on him. His name is Goat of Redemption. Among the ancient Jews, once a year, the priest chose such a scapegoat and energetically directed all the sins, all the negative karma of the family, to him. Then he was driven out into the desert.
Pretty cruel.
Irene reacted instantly, imagining what the sage was talking about. At that moment, a feminine blonde woman of about 35, dressed in a light satin dress with red poppies, raised her hand.
Master, tell me, but Jesus Christ,
she said quietly and hesitantly.
He was just such a goat of redemption, wasn't he? Or am I wrong?
That's right, Agatha. You're not wrong.
The sage nodded.
Christ was indeed such a goat of redemption, and he voluntarily took upon himself the karma of all those who believed in him. Christ had Sahasrara consciousness, which is why he was not recognized by Pharisees and was expelled from the egregore. He led people to liberation, not locking them into their own culture.
For a few moments, there was silence in the hall of the temple. The disciples were reflecting on what had been said, trying to relate this global knowledge to the present day, to apply it to their experience. And when the master realized that the disciples were ready to listen further, he continued.
The following archetypes are located on the sides of the triangle between its corners. People belonging to these archetypes may be several in a group, and they are not as strictly fixed as the lion leader, the vulture priest, and the fool. So within a group, people can change these roles. If you go on the descending right side from sattva to rajas, the first archetype after the vulture priest is the archetype of the noble stag.
The sage pointed to the figure of an animal dressed in knight's armor.
This is the conscience of the collective, such a noble knight who upholds the laws of the family. His main qualities are loyalty to duty, selflessness, honor.
Great Master, can we say that the noble stag follows the principles of morality?
Anthony asked.
Yes, you can. It is this archetype that protects the unjustly wronged. He fights bravely for justice. He has very developed moral values, sometimes even much better than the vulture priest and leader. who may well be less moral.
And friendly dog is everyone's mate?
Irene suggested.
Yes, it is the soul of the team,
confirmed the keeper.
Such an in-house guy, good-natured, sociable, ready for the sake of friends to remove, give the last. He is happy to help anyone who needs it, and he is appreciated for this. For company, he can even commit a disreputable deed, but without malice. He forgives everything to everyone and does not remember bad things.
Such a completely positive character,
Melissa commented on her teacher's words.
I guess you can't say the same about the cunning fox.
The girl looked at the canvas half questioningly.
Is it someone like in Gray Eminence?
A good comparison.
The sage made a confirming gesture with his head.
The cunning fox stands next to the leader. He is a dodgy man, and he looks for his advantage everywhere. He is ready to betray others, to extort or intrigue for profit. But he prefers to stay in the shadows and act through the hands of others.
But is Raja's energy level is also high?
Anthony decided to clarify, to better understand the whole structure of the hierarchy.
A little less than the lion leaders, but yes. That's why a person with the archetype of the cunning fox is sociable, charming. He is a good storyteller and a lover of companies where you can show your talent.
Having answered the student's question, the sage again drew the attention of all present to the picture.
Farther from the lion leader to the fool, from Rajas to Tamas, comes the jester rooster. He is an insolent, mockingbird, bully. He is always a chum of the strongest. Above all, the lion leader. He loves to conduct his sentences. He is unbalanced, hot-tempered, arrogant. This causes negativity in others, and often he is even beaten for it. But he quickly forgets the lessons and continues to behave the same way again.
The master gave the students a penetrating look, watching their reactions and seeing their focused attention continued.
The next archetype is the flattering jackal. This is a shallow person who loves praise and good treatment. He tries to achieve this by flattery, often not very appropriate. He is neat, courteous, always on the second roll, likes the patronage of the strongest in the group, easily agrees to be led, defends not his own opinion, but the opinion of the lion leader. He is often timid and confused during a conflict.
I'm reminded of the jackal in Mowgli,
Melissa said.
He flattered Shere Khan all the time and served him willingly.
Yes, the Jungle Book shows this archetype well,
the keeper confirmed and pointed to the painting again.
Next is the lazy pig. This is Tamas, a very inert person. He likes to eat good food, relax, and likes to get by at other people's expense. He does not want to work and lives only in his fantasies. Starts to do anything only from under the stick and does badly, just to get rid of him. Cowardly, often stupid, but peaceful. Likes to lie, sometimes to no purpose.
A very unpleasant archetype,
Irene said emotionally, looking with disgust at the image of the lazy pig, wallowing in his own laziness and in the scraps scattered on the couch.
I've never understood people like that. There are so many interesting things in life, and they are only busy eating, sleeping, and watching TV.
There's very little energy of activity in them, but there is a lot of tamasic inertness, on the contrary,
commented the sage.
We will talk more about it in detail, and now let's consider the side of the triangle, from the fool to the priest, ascending from tamas to sattva. If we go upward from the goat of redemption, we see the faceless fish. This is a person who likes to be inconspicuous. He is a shy, silent, withdrawn, passive executive. He may even be intelligent, but he lives in the thoughts of others, like the fool. Can be very loyal to the patron.
We had a boy in our class who was secretly in love with me,
Melissa confessed quietly, but her voice didn't sound superior and narcissistic, but rather a little regretful and shameful for not noticing her feelings in time.
But I didn't even know about it. I only found out a few years later when he accidentally told me at the reunion. He was always so quiet that we didn't even take him seriously somehow.
The faceless fish is often a one lover.
The keeper commented calmly on the student's words.
But is often unhappy in love, because he lives only in hopes, but rarely makes the first step. He wants to be needed, but not in the public eye.
Yes, it looks like him a lot,
Melissa said and thought for a while. In the meantime, the master continued to describe the following sans roles.
A working horse is a hard-working and diligent person,
he explained, pointing to an animal loaded with folders.
He wants to do everything well and finish everything. He likes to do crafts and has hobbies. He does everyone's work, likes praise and public recognition, is responsive, and helps others.
Master, tell me, every role has its negative sides. Do I understand correctly?
Agatha asked.
And if so, what are they for the working horse?
Yes, of course,
said the wise man.
The working horse has stubbornness, conservatism. Such people are usually resistant to innovation. Often such people fawn themselves over their superiors, but they may treat those below them in rank with disdain.
The teacher paused and pointed to the next image of the archetype, which was only a step below the priest.
White Crow. An unsettled person, critical, has his own views on the world, which always contradict the collective, seeks his truth and justice everywhere, does not respect the opinion of others, although he himself is not stupid and intelligent. He likes to teach and argue, even if the other person agrees with him, and is very disappointed if he is wrong.
Great teacher. Is it true that a person can play one role in one group and another role in another group?
Agatha asked again, after listening to the wise man's explanation.
What does it depend on?
A person gets a role in a collective, depending on the ratio of his energy to the energy potential of the group. For example, one boy studied in a simple school, and there he had the son's role of priest. And then he moved to a school with advanced study, for example, mathematics, and there the program is more complicated, and the total energy potential of the class is much higher. And there, against the background of other smart kids, he didn't stand out, and his energy level was average, so he couldn't take the role of priest.
Is there any way to take a higher role in this hierarchy?
Anthony asked a question, shaking his curly short hair.
For example, if a person in each group turns out to be the goat of redemption, is there anything he can do to get out of that role?
A light and slightly mysterious smile touched the sage's lips.
If you know how to manage energy, you can put yourself in any role in the team.
He replied gravely and glanced meaningfully at the student. At that moment, the hand of a young red-haired female disciple rose in the hall.
Wise one, may I ask you to talk about these three energies, Tamas, Rajas, and Sattva, in detail?
The girl asked.
You mention these energies so often, and I understand them in general terms, but I want to understand more deeply to realize the whole true essence.
Of course, Kelly.
The keeper of knowledge answered readily, sending a warm smile to his student.
Tamas, Rajas, and Sattva are the energies of the gunas, the three driving forces in our life. And from which energy in a person prevails, manifests in a person, determines his karmic type of individuality. Sattva is the mental energy, peculiar to people of the mental type, performing the function of control. Rajas are the sensual energy of emotional people. It is the basic motor force, the activity of an individual. In China, this energy is called yang. Tamas is the bodily energy, the force that serves as a balancing ballast in an individual. In China, this energy is called yin.
Master, should a person strive to become as less tamasic as possible or not?
Kelly asked, looking questioningly at the master.
You have to try to learn to control these gunas,
he explained.
In ancient India, they were depicted as a cart pulled by horses and driven by a charioteer. That is a particularly good analogy. The cart is tamas, or our body. The horses are rajas, or our emotions. The charioteer is sattva, or our mind. And he controls the horses through reins, i.e. various means, nutrition, breathing, suggestion. And this carriage carries the essence that awakens the charioteer and guides him along the path of evolution.
A swarthy, dark-haired guy raised his hand.
It turns out that all three energies are important and influence each other?
He asked.
If there were no tamas energy, there would be no bodily energy and it would be impossible to awaken the charioteer?
Yes, Tyler. The gunas in a person are present as a proportion. And there is a state called saguna, the balance of all the gunas. In this state, it becomes possible to control them, to be independent of them.
Master, but how to achieve it?
Asked the boy with growing enthusiasm.
Saguna is achieved by special practice.
Answered the sage with a mysterious smile.
You and I will definitely reach it.
And Saguna is the highest to which one can aspire?
Kelly asked again.
Or is there an even higher state?
There is also Nirguna, a state beyond the gunas. In it resides the soul that has come to full realization, developed the will, and overcome the lower nature.
Master, but if we look at it, from the point of view of the prevalence of certain gunas in a person, is it possible to distinguish types of people?
Yes, it is possible.
The sage nodded in agreement and began to explain in detail.
Depending on the proportions of this energy, it is really possible to distinguish several types of people. If sattva and rajas are equally present, they are inspired people, poets, artists, musicians, people of creativity. They embody rational emotional experiences. If sattva and tamas are equally expressed, they are dreamers. They can mind and philosophize fruitlessly, but they are not able to realize their ideas and achieve their goals because mindfulness does not turn into action. If the proportions of rajas and tamas in a person are equal, then they are shallow people, slaves of sensual pleasures, irascible, but at the same time enterprising.
Can any of these energies prevail?
Yes, this also happens. There are sattvic people who very often play the role of vulture priest in a collective. Sattvic people include deep thinkers, scientists, philosophers.
Great Master, it turns out that such people have no emotions if their rajasic energy is weakly manifested?
Irene asked, meeting the sage's gaze.
That's right. They are characterized by cold reasoning and aspiration for knowledge. But Rajasic people are emotional. They can be very cordial. They can empathize with others. They can be what is called the soul of society. But also,
the sage looked at each of the students,
who asked about the other side of the coin. What do you think it is like for Rajasic people?
The disciples hesitated, pondering over the guardian's question. The first to raise her hand was the red-haired girl, Kelly.
If rajas are emotions, then probably not only good, positive ones,
she suggested.
Well done.
The sage smiled approvingly.
That's right. Rajasic people are often subject to emotional swings, depression. They are often hot-tempered in love, fickle, attached to lust, restless in affairs. Tamasic people, on the other hand, are rude, primitive, and passive. Often very lazy, indiscriminate, love, sleep, and idleness.
When the sage finished speaking, a short, middle-aged man with neat glasses raised his hand.
Great Master, I keep trying to understand how these three energies coexist in a human being.
He began his question.
Can they oppose each other?
Zachary, there is a constant opposition of the gunas in man.
Confirmed the keeper of knowledge.
And what determines which energy will prevail? Why is there no harmony of energies?
Initially, all the gunas exist in a person in abundance,
said the master, looking shrewdly at the pupil.
But personal stereotypes of behavior, eating habits, different compulsions on the part of society lead to a steady predominance of one of them. This is all formed as the child grows, when society begins to influence him, parents, caretakers, teachers, friends, television, advertising, propaganda.
Zachary nodded understandingly and adjusted the glasses that had slipped down the bridge of his nose.
And with the course of a person's life, these energies in him change?
Of course,
said the sage with a bright smile.
In the course of life, the gunas flow smoothly into each other. Rajas comes in the daytime, sattva in the evening, tamas at night, and sattva again in the morning. All processes in the world are connected with the action of the gunas. Birth, creation is rajas. Preservation, development is sattva. Destruction, stopping is tamas. And these gunas succeed each other. After work, activity, emotional experience comes reflection, followed by rest. Thus, in the process of life, the states change each other, and none of them is eternal. The energies of the gunas are accumulated in the body, feelings, mind of an individual, and then realized in life. But habits and preferences allow accumulating one energy more and the other less. This is how it turns out that one or two gunas begin to prevail.
And they also depend on our environment, right?
The student asked.
Yes.
The master agreed.
For example, in a circle of more sattvic people, a less sattvic person will look either rajasic or tamasic. The latter person in the company of the more tamasic ones would be considered rajasic.
It's like the saying, isn't it?
Agatha said in a melodious, soft voice, and then she quoted it with a smile.
Hares may pull dead lions by the beard.
Yes, the proverb illustrates it well,
confirmed the keeper.
Sattvic people instruct rajasic people, and they control tamasic people. Knowing how to control the gunas, a person can change their role in life, become more active, more reasonable, and calmer. To know and understand, one needs sattva. To realize plans and ideas, rajas. And to rest, divirest, and be satisfied with what has been achieved, tamas. Knowledge of the gunas, ability to control them, is the first necessary stage in mastering energy, sansa, and sansa psychology as a science of the structure of an individual and the world.
Having heard the master's answer, Agatha raised her hand again with a question.
Great master, it turns out that everything in life is built according to the law of hierarchy,
said the woman.
And could you describe this law correctly? And how to correctly combine the observance of hierarchy, respect for the force, and at the same time growth in hierarchy, spiritual development, and one's well-being?
The sage pondered over the answer for a few seconds in silence.
Without hierarchy, nothing can exist,
he said after a pause.
If everyone is on the same level, what do you think will happen?
He addressed the question to all the students present in the hall.
Anarchy,
Zachary answered, ahead of the others.
Troubled times,
Agatha said.
Right. If there is no leader or priest, there is chaos. Hierarchy creates order. People are looking for someone stronger, someone smarter, someone who can be a leader to lead them somewhere, looking for who can be a priest to explain things to them. When such people are found, the others follow. And if everyone is on equal footing, if there is no leader or priest, then you are left with a disorganized crowd.
For example, how is a class without a teacher?
Melissa interjected, who had been following the spiritual conversation closely all this time.
Yes, like a class without a teacher,
smiled the sage.
Remember what usually happens when the teacher does not come to class?
Total chaos,
the girl said ironically. The sage responded to the student's smile with a warm look.
Yes, and when the teacher comes, everything immediately becomes in order. And when there is a hierarchy, there is harmony at once because there is a leader, a priest, and then the whole collective starts to act in harmony. And if you take away the leader and priests, what will remain? A disorganized crowd of people. It is not clear what they should do, how to come to order and harmony. So it turns out that one went in one direction, the other in another, the third in the third. Then everything falls apart and collapses. Therefore, as soon as a hierarchy is established, it becomes possible to conduct some activity purposefully. If there is a correct hierarchy, then everything is good. The main thing is that the leaders should not be formal.
Great Master, what is a formal leader from the point of view of energies and this hierarchy?
Melissa asked a question, catching the phrase said by the master and nodding toward the picture.
For example, let's take a school group. There, the distribution of San's role is based on essence. The one who has the strongest rajasic energy becomes the lion leader. The one who has the most sattvic energy becomes the vulture priest. It all comes from the essence. But in an adult group, it can be different. There, the roles are often distributed formally. Someone is appointed director, although he may not correspond to his position.
Does it mean that in an adult collective, everything often comes not from the essence, but from the personality?
Tyler asked, rejoining the conversation.
Yes,
nodded the sage.
For example, someone is appointed head of the party. In other words, they formally gave him the role of priest, but he is not capable of it because he does not have enough sattvic energy. What do you think will happen then?
The master again asked the students a question, encouraging them to think and visualize the situation.
He will just shout some stupid slogans and won't even understand their meaning,
Tyler suggested.
And he certainly won't be able to inspire people to follow him,
the sage added, confirming the correctness of the student's assumption.
In an adult team, San's roles often become formal. Just someone was appointed to one position, another to another. The third was given some other job, and now it seems that everyone is distributed, but people do not correspond to these roles, so they fulfill them very badly.
Dear Master, can I give an example?
Irene suddenly volunteered.
I wondered if I understood correctly about the hierarchy.
The sage nodded approvingly, and the girl began to speak.
I remember this story from high school. We had a lot of, well, quite bold kids in our class, hooligans. And among them, there was Vulture Priest, Lion Leader, White Crow, Flattering Jackal, and Jester Rooster. I'm just remembering now, and it turns out to be a classic scheme. One day a new teacher came to our music class. He was noticeably young, probably, only after the institute. And here our hooligans, as always, began to talk to each other in class. And the new teacher did not like it. He tried to build them up. He started raising his voice. Why are you talking in class? We're in the middle of a lesson. Let's listen to the new topic. And our guys. There was a leader there, Kurt Smith. He set his jester Chad Davis on him. And he obviously started to mock the teacher. He answered like this. And if I don't want to listen, then what? What will you do to me? And all this, with such an insolent expression on his face, almost putting his feet on the table. In the end, the lesson was disrupted. At first, the teacher tried to raise his voice, to shout something, to scare them to face the principal. But then his voice trembled, and it became clear that he could not cope. We all realized it. I felt so sorry for him, but there was nothing we could do because the energy level was low at that time, and the leader and his minions kept us on such a leash. You either accept this leadership or you challenge it. And nobody was ready for that. And so the teacher, almost in tears, ran out of the classroom and rushed to complain to the principal under the general clamor, under the hail of paper shells.
Irene paused in her story, looked around at the other students who were listening attentively to her story, and then looked at the wise man.
Great Master, tell me, is this where it turns out our new music teacher was just such a fake formal leader? He was just put in this place. He should be a guide of knowledge, take on the role of a wise priest. But the real leader Smith and his minions, they, it turns out, tried to make him a scapegoat?
Good example,
the sage said approvingly after listening to the story and the girl's questions.
Yes, indeed. Your music teacher was a formal leader. You have put it all right. But Smith was a real leader, and the teacher had too low a level of sattvic and rajasic energy. That's why he couldn't lead people anywhere. Imagine if he was not a teacher, and they were not students, but met somewhere in the taiga where they had to survive, side by side. How would the roles have been divided? Then there would not even be a question that your young teacher could claim to be a leader.
It turns out that in adult teams too often happens?
Kelly asked.
At work in some company? For example, someone just got the place through connections because he is a relative or acquaintance of the boss.
Yes, it is true that in the Six Society has now become mostly such formal leaders. There are very few real normal leaders and priests. If there were, then people would go in the right direction.
And what can happen when such a formal leader is in power?
Anthony asked.
There will be no harmony. It will not be clear where the collective is moving, why, what goals it is pursuing. Everything falls apart under such leadership.
Master, if a person cannot normally play the role assigned to him, does it mean that someone else will play it?
Anthony asked another question.
And still, eventually, everything will be redistributed by energy, right?
Yes, that's right,
answered the keeper.
Even if we remember history, we will see that very often instead of a king or a czar, a jester actually ruled. Because the king was the formal leader, he was simply born into a royal family, but his energy level was low, and he was not capable of leading others. So the jester led the state for him, as he was much more capable of it, had intelligence and other important qualities that are needed for that.
The next question was asked by Melissa.
Master, in what Sans role does conscience awaken?
She asked in a ringing voice, looking at the sage with wide-open eyes.
And in which Sans role can we truly change?
As I told you today, the conscience is most awakened in the noble stag,
explained the sage.
But we must change by playing roles, which is, we must be able to play the right role. Because if we are just a noble stag, a priest, or a lion, it is not enough. We must make it so that it is not the role that rules us, and we are completely immersed in that role. But we have to play the role. For example, we take and move into one role, then we take and consciously move into another.
But in order to do that, we have to get the necessary energy from somewhere,
the girl said with a little bit of surprise.
Yes,
the teacher confirmed with the calm confidence of a wise man.
We must learn to generate the right energy to fulfill any role. Our energy determines the role. We must not just play outwardly like actors. We must enter the right energy state that corresponds to the role, to play it not just outwardly, but inwardly, to match this role. If we can do it, if we have learned it, then there is real development.
Great sage, where do you start? How do I go about learning how to change energy levels?
Melissa continued to ask with a spark of inspiration and enthusiasm in her eyes.
First of all, we need to learn to see our roles in the group, to see the roles of others. And when we see that, then we can stop identifying with those roles. That's when real development will take place.
Teacher, how exactly does the distribution of roles in the group take place?
Tyler asked.
It doesn't happen immediately. Do people have to get to know each other? Or does it happen through a struggle, a competition? Whoever wins becomes the leader?
In our example, the new teacher was being tested to see how he would react to the insolence, to the challenge of the leader and his minions. And if the teacher had an elevated level of energy, he would have shown himself to be a wise priest and could have taken this role. But as it is, he was driven into the role of a goat of redemption. and it should be more difficult for him to get out of it. So yes, there is a struggle for the distribution of roles in the group, but not necessarily physical. But people will fight anyway, and someone will become a leader, someone will be a cunning fox, someone will be a jester. These are all Rajasic roles. Someone, on the contrary, will become a priest or a noble stag. And if a person takes offense, runs away to complain, puts down his hands, falls into despondency, then he will be driven into the role of a goat of redemption. That's why one should look at how a person behaves, how he reacts to provocations, to different situations, and check. Does a person become responsible, relaxes, and behaves in a boorish way, shows aggression, or on the contrary, takes all insults on his own account and suffers quietly?
After listening to his master's answer, Tyler looked at him again.
And here, weak roles. Do we have to play them only for pushing, or can they also be used for our development? It was mentioned here that Jesus Christ voluntarily took on the role of the goat of redemption. But in fact, he was a priest, am I right?
Yes, Christ was a priest. But he deliberately decided to play the role of a scapegoat in order to show people how everyone really treats knowledge, prophets.
The wise man calmly explained.
Christ did it consciously to play out the whole mystery that we know now. He did it to show what kind of life people live, how susceptible they are to suggestion, to propaganda. When Christ entered Jerusalem, people greeted him with enthusiasm, throwing palm branches under his feet. And the same people a few days later shouted, "Crucify him!" That's the crowd. And that is why Christ played the role of the goat of redemption, so that it would be obvious. To show the sickness of society, how it reacts, how it is organized.
The disciples listened to the wise man with awe and burning eyes, and with each word he spoke, the simple truths that had not changed throughout the history of mankind were revealed to them increasingly. Both then and now, millennia later, people were just as susceptible to society's suggestion and propaganda, just as unaware of the reasons for their deeds and actions. When the keeper of knowledge finished his speech, Zachary raised his hand.
"Great teacher,"
he addressed the teacher respectfully.
"When is it necessary to consciously use the role of a goat of redemption?"
The disciple smiled faintly, with warm self-irony, and continued.
"If you are not Christ, but an ordinary man, and should you even do it?"
Playing the victim is useful in situations where the pursuit of knowledge can be used against you. Dark forces do not benefit from thinking and developing people. Therefore, you can pretend to be a faceless fish or take the role of a goat of redemption, enter the image of a victim. In general, it is useful in any situation when you need to prove that you are innocent.
After listening to the sage's answer, the disciple thought,
"Great master, I am trying to understand how Sans role are connected with our spiritual part,"
he said after a few seconds,
"with our manager that you told me about earlier. To defeat our lower parts, is there any way to use Sans roles?"
"Consciousness observes roles,"
the keeper began to explain.
"When our biorobot identifies with its roles and masks, a person sleeps. This is what we are trying to get away from, to identify with all the roles, both social and sans energetic. And then it will be possible to take some role and play it consciously. Of all sans roles, sattvic roles are more suitable for consciousness. When we act in accordance with the sattvic roles, a spiritual personality is formed."
A spark of understanding lit up in the student's gaze. It was as if he had finally found the answer to a question that had been bothering him for a long time.
"So, if we enter as a noble stag or a priest, we are closer to getting away from automatism and switching to higher levels of essence?
Yes.
Confirmed, the sage.
If we are in the roles of priest, stag, or even white crow, it helps to form a spiritual personality.
The white crow too?
Zachary was surprised.
There are various kinds of opposition to the collective. For example, if this white crow is a punk who denies society, its templates, compulsions, stereotypes, then we are closer to consciousness. And if we are constantly in the role of a scapegoat, then we are moving away from consciousness. The closest to consciousness is sattva, then rajas, and the farthest is tamas. Because tamas is sleep itself. Even physically, one falls asleep when tamas arises. That's why we either consciously play roles and learn to manage our energy on purpose, or we simply identify with every role that life drives us into, and then there is no way out of these roles for us. We just obey them.
Does the ego manifest itself in Sanrol?
Asked Irene, who, like the others, was attentively following the conversation and trying to relate the new knowledge to the existing one.
The ego has favorite sans roles that it will occupy most often. So someone wants to be a lazy pig, someone is a faceless fish, someone is a friendly dog, etc. To get rid of the ego's influence, we must observe our sans roles and try to play ourselves in other, not habitual, roles. Even then, there will be changes. We will see ourselves better when we start playing a different role, and it will be easier for us to separate from it.
At this point, the question arose in Anthony's mind. The boy shook his head as usual, removing the curly bangs that had fallen on his forehead.
Master, may I tell an example of my own story?
He said, and, receiving the sage's approval, he continued.
It happened to me at school. My classmate took me to the week and asked me to go into the classroom and show some hooliganism.
The guy smiled, remembering this moment, and began to tell further.
And for me, such behavior is not typical, so she thought that I could not. So I walked out the door, tuned up, and walked back into the classroom, swaying like a drunk. My gait had changed, and I started talking, muddling my words like a drunk usually does, and generally feeling different.
The guy paused, choosing the right words.
I appeared in a different role and immediately felt, here I am, and here is my role that I play. I felt it very clearly. And the usual roles, you know, for example, the role of an exemplary boy, it somehow did not feel at all. Or rather, in that role, I thought that it was not a role, but that it was me, this very good and excellent boy.
Anthony finished the story question and looked at the wise man expectantly.
That's a good example.
He nodded approvingly.
You can see how and where you can start working on yourself, trying out unfamiliar roles, observing how we feel about them.
So it turns out that if the role is unfamiliar, we immediately feel the separation. And then, in their usual roles, you can also feel this separation. Where I am and where the role is.
Yes, of course.
Confirmed the keeper of knowledge, answering with a meaningful look.
This is what we should strive for. To feel the separation from the role. To make a gap. To realize that all this is not me. To learn to play roles consciously. If you want, you take one role. If you want, you take another. Then it is not the roles that will control us, but we will learn to control the roles.
Agatha asked the next question.
Dear Master, tell me, what happens to the ego when we die?
She asked, and having collected her thoughts, added.
After all, the ego is our idea of ourselves, and when we die, we separate from the body. We see everything more real. So, our self-image changes too, and therefore, our ego changes too? Or does the ego disappear after death? Please clarify this point.
No, ego does not disappear after death.
The sage shook his head.
It remains in us, but it gets into completely different conditions and changes from that. Because the ego in general always changes. depending on the conditions in which we find ourselves.
So, for example, if we were to go to some primitive tribe and start living in it,
the woman began to argue.
Then our ego would also become different.
If we were suddenly in a wild tribe, the ego would change. But one thing would remain the same.
The sage paused and looked around at the students to give them a chance to reflect and come to their own conclusions.
The habit of concentrating on the ego and acting from it would remain the same.
He continued.
The conditions may have changed, and in a wild tribe we would live in huts and run with a spear through the jungle. But our habit of concentrating on the ego would remain. And if such a habit is formed, it will definitely pass with us into the next life. Yes, the person will be called by a different name, but the habit of ego will remain. We will still concentrate on ourselves. We will be in the power of templates and stereotypes. We will be identified with our roles.
And that's why we have to get rid of these ego habits in our current life, right?
Agatha clarified, catching the sage's gaze again.
If we look at everything from the outside, ridicule, exaggerate everything, then we will begin to get out from under the influence of the ego. That is why we have to work through all this constantly and actively, so that in the next life we do not drag the wrong habit of our ego.
Thank you for your explanations, Master.
Thanked Agatha. And in the meantime, several students raised their hands with the desire to ask the sage something. He pointed with an open palm in the direction of a sharp-nosed girl with short, funny pigtails.
Dear teacher, and I've heard that the sans role of cunning fox is the best for society, but also the worst in the spiritual collective. How do you understand this correctly?
Margaret, on the spiritual path, we must not be cunning and deceitful.
The keeper commented on her words.
On the contrary, there should be sincerity and openness. Otherwise, we will deceive ourselves. After all, we follow the spiritual path, listen to lectures, and do spiritual practices in order to develop. It is the same as if a person came to a gym with exercise machines and hid behind one of them. Or he came to the gym. First he sat behind one machine, then he hid behind another, then he pretended to work out on the third. But in fact, he only took a few photos to upload them to the internet and came home and ate sweets, calming himself that he had gone to training.
Mischievous sparks sparkled in Sage's eyes, and the red-haired girl giggled softly as she pictured the scene. Laughter broke out among the other students. So absurd did the described behavior seem, though some of them even recognized themselves in this behavior.
What's the point of him coming to the gym if he's just going to rest there and do nothing?
Continued the wise man.
He will just waste time, and there will be no effect. It turns out that a person will deceive himself. That is why, if you come to the gym, you should work out normally, exercise, and develop. Then it makes sense and is useful. Then you will feel good.
Margaret nodded thoughtfully and, once again immersed in thought, asked another question.
Tell me, is it possible that a person never ever assumes the role of a lion leader in his whole life? Or in any case, will a person sooner or later take each of the roles?
As a rule, a person, without realizing it, is looking for ways to manifest in higher sans roles,
answered the sage.
I remember knowing a very shy girl who was afraid of everything all the time, and in a group, she could not even say a word, always kept silent, and was in the position of the faceless fish. But then I saw her training her dog, and just with the dog, she manifested in the role of a lion leader. So we should always remember that very saying, hares may pull dead lions by the beard.
Satisfied with her answer, Margaret thoughtfully clasped her chin with her thumb and forefinger, and a thoughtful expression appeared on her face, which was soon replaced by a radiant insight.
Can it happen that a person, sometimes deliberately, seeks out a weak society in order to elevate himself,
she said emotionally, expressing the thought that had just occurred to her.
Instead of striving for the strong, even though he may be in the second role there, it's because of this, isn't it?
Yes, because of that,
the sage said, confirming the student's guess.
A man wants to assert himself, wants to feel great. And where can he assert himself? You can assert yourself over a dog, dominate it, train it. It's much easier than being a leader in a collective, but a person should strive for a normal society, a powerful society. It is not the way out. To show oneself a leader among dogs somewhere, or in an unworthy environment of downcast people.
Master, I remember another saying,
Agatha said softly.
Who keeps company with the wolf will learn to howl,
she said softly.
That's right,
said the wise man.
If we always assert ourselves over those who are weaker, we will not develop ourselves, but will only degrade. But if you get into the environment of great people, you may be in the last roles there, but gradually you will start to develop at the expense of this environment. Otherwise, we will not be able to move forward and follow the spiritual path. Do you remember the story I told you a long time ago about the girl who was raised by wild dogs?
Many students nodded in agreement, showing that they remembered the master's story very well.
So,
he continued,
this girl lived with dogs, and it was easy and comfortable for her there. If you want to howl, if you want to run on all fours, if you want to bite, very comfortable life in the dog community. But such a life led to degradation. The girl could not talk, read, write. Human and divine qualities did not develop. And if the same girl had been not among dogs, but among great people, then development would have taken place. Because the proverb is right. We begin to learn from those people and rise to the level of those people.
At that moment, Agatha raised her hand again, ripe for a new question.
Teacher, if there are only three people in a team, how are the Sans roles distributed?
She asked, pointing to the picture diagram.
Is there no distribution at all, or does everyone take on several Sans roles? And is it possible to change these Sans roles in any way?
Sometimes, if the collective is small, a person can take several roles at once and change them, depending on his state. Enter one, then another, then a third role. And it is possible to change them consciously if we activate ourselves. For example, if we start to get angry, start to take more responsibility, start to offer some ideas, take initiative, then our role starts to change for the better. And if we do not do all this, then our role can only change in a bad way. Goat of redemption, lazy pig, and faceless fish. For this not to happen, we need to activate and move into strong roles.
You said that there can be only one leader in a team,
Agatha reminded him, looking at the sage with reverence.
Can the energy be divided evenly? For example, into two or three leaders?
If there are several candidates for leadership in a group, eventually there will be some friction between them, some rivalry, and during it some of them will show themselves to be more active and others less active, and the division into roles will still happen. Either the candidates themselves will yield to the more active one, or he will be determined in the process of the struggle.
The sage smiled slightly.
But of course, we don't mean physical struggle, although sometimes it takes place.
So there can't be two leaders or two priests?
Agatha clarified.
No,
confirmed the teacher.
Neither can there be two goats of redemption. Usually the corner roles are all one, but there can be several other roles, a few stags, a few white crows, a few cunning foxes.
Teacher, can I ask you more about teaming up?
She asked another question, and having received the master's silent approval, continued.
Let's take an ordinary collective, where all people have taken some sans role. After all, each role has its own goals. A pig, for example, may have a goal.
to work as little as possible and rest as much as possible. And a lion, for example, to fulfill the sales plan. And these goals do not overlap in any way. What to do then, and how to unite them all? Does it turn out that the vulture priest should manage them all so that they all go to the same goal?
Yes, of course. The priest has to give a common idea. The lion gathers everyone, unites them, so that they follow this idea. Other roles begin to help the lion leader and the priest, and then there is a common cause. And if there is no priest, there is no common idea. Then everything disintegrates, decays. Nothing can be realized.
So the vulture priest, he sort of puts everything in its place, gives people the right attitude. I understand correctly?
Agatha clarified.
Yes, that's right.
The keeper replied.
But there's something else you wanted to ask, isn't there?
Yes.
The woman looked up at the master, amazed at his insight.
I wanted to develop this idea. So it turns out that when a vulture priest gives an idea, the others obey, but only for a while. Then one moment of discomfort and people get distracted and forget about the idea. Am I right? And it turns out that it all depends not only on the priest, but also on the mood of each person in the group. And is it necessary to give oneself this attitude every day?
Well done.
Praised the wise man.
You have understood everything correctly. The attitude of each person is important. And first of all, we need emotions. If emotions are involved in something, then we can concentrate on it much longer. If emotions are not switched on, then very quickly the mind switches to something else, because the mind has no great power, and any thought, any impulse can disrupt it. That's why you need a special mindset to turn on the emotions, or you need to remind yourself of something as often as possible. Such a reminder is very desirable, because a person is prone to forgetfulness. He forgets about the goal. He forgets what needs to be done. Man forgets everything until he is reminded by some external impulses. For example, a hungry stomach reminds a person to move, to do something, to earn food somehow. So when emotions are involved, when there is the right mood, then we are included in the idea for a long time. If there is no mood, no emotions, then there is chaos. It is not clear what we are engaged in. And degradation begins.
The sage finished his explanation and looked at the picture with the triangle of Saint Rolls, turned his gaze to his students, expecting new questions. Melissa came forward again.
Teacher, I have a question about how these sans roles relate to the social roles of a person. Is there any correlation?
Yes, besides sans role, we have other roles, which are manifested in different situations. These are the roles of a child and a parent, a teacher and a student, a superior and a subordinate, etc. We socialize with parents from one role, with teachers from another, with friends from a third. And it is not always possible to fit social roles into sans role. Sometimes they can be easily identified with some sans role. Sometimes it is difficult. Sometimes a person's social role is in between two sans role. So we should always observe ourselves more and make a repertoire of all our roles. To think about who I socialize with, in what environment it happens, in what role in this environment I manifest. Then we will have a repertoire of our roles. We will be able to observe how we enter one role, then another.
Thank you for the explanations.
Melissa thanked, and immediately several hands flew up to ask questions. The sage nodded toward a tall, thin man, about 40 years old, with a sparse sagebrush.
You know, great one.
He addressed the Keeper of Knowledge respectfully.
I used to think that there is such a spirit of Teenbur, a certain spirit of the group's egregore, which passes to the more energetically powerful person, to the strongest in the group. When the energy is redistributed, this force enters you, and you immediately have the right thoughts. You understand who and how to organize. But when a more energetically strong person comes, you seem to do the same thing, but you lose Teenbur.
The man finished his explanation and fell silent, standing next to the keeper, waiting for his comment.
No, it's the sans roll that works here,
he explained gently.
Timber is more about shamanism, not about the collective and the distribution of power within it. And what you're talking about is the distribution of power. As I said, you can't have two lion leaders in the same group at the same time. If, for example, one person was a lion leader and another stronger person comes here, the stronger person becomes a lion leader, and the one who was a lion leader before takes another role, which is closer to him in terms of energy. And if their strengths are approximately equal, the struggle for the place of the lion leader begins at once.
Having finished the story, the teacher gave the opportunity to ask a question to the student who had so far only listened very attentively, but did not participate in the general conversation. She was a middle-aged woman with deep, slightly faded eyes. Before asking the question, she gestured at the painting.
Beloved teacher, according to the Pyramid of Sans Roles, it turns out that the corner roles.
The woman pointed to the scapegoat and the lion leader.
They are the farthest from Sattva, from Atman. I was thinking about it now, and if they are equally distant from the top point, from Sattva, then both of these roles are equally unnecessary for us, in the sense that they don't contribute to spiritual development. So even the lion leader, he is in a kind of sleep if, for example, he identifies himself with power. And only tamas and rajas of a completely different quality can be useful. For example, meditation, in the corner of tamas, or zeal for the cause in the corner of rajas.
Having finished thinking aloud, the woman looked questioningly at the sage, looking for support or refutation of her conjectures in him.
Master, are my reflections correct?
Yes, Tiana, that is correct. But we should remember that Sattva is not consciousness yet. It is not Atman. Sattva is more mindfulness. Atman, our divine spirit, is beyond these gunas, so consciousness can awaken wherever there is tamas or rajas, and it doesn't necessarily awaken exactly where Sattva is.
So you are saying that Sattva can be misdirected as well in some wrong way?
Tiana asked in surprise.
Once I spoke in Akadam Gorodok.
Author's note. It is a complex of scientific institutes, residential houses of employees.
In front of scientists.
The sage began to recall.
So, they could not understand me. They were critically looking for mistakes in what I was saying, for some inconsistencies instead of trying to simply assimilate the truth, to apply the knowledge to themselves. Each of them had quite a high level of sattva, but they directed this energy to find inconsistencies in my words.
But after all, sattva in scientists must be there, isn't it?
It should, but it didn't help them to understand the teachings and start developing. That is why I want to say that sattva is different from consciousness. Sattva can be directed to cognizing oneself and understanding the teachings, in which case it brings one closer to consciousness, to the Atman. But it can also be directed to criticism, to the propaganda of atheism, to the search for errors in religious teachings. In this case, it does not help in spiritual development at all.
Master, it turns out that we should not try to run away from our roles, even if they are conditionally weak roles.
Anthony joined the dialogue.
I understand correctly that the main thing is to understand what role you play, to see yourself inside this role?
The most important thing is to realize that the role is one thing, I am something else,
explained the sage.
The most important thing is to separate yourself so that there is a gap. To understand, yes, there are roles that society forces me to play, but this role is not me. When an actor plays a role, they don't think that he is Napoleon or even the Terrible. An actor realizes that this is just a role he is playing on stage. And an ordinary person doesn't realize this and starts to become their role. This is the worst thing when a person becomes a role. Because in this case, he is in slavery. and the role begins to control him.
It's like if an actor played the role of Ivan the Terrible and then went backstage and kept playing the same role, he'd be angry at everyone, hitting everyone with his prop staff, trying to be the king.
Melissa gave an example and giggled quietly as she pictured the scene.
Yes, exactly.
The sage smiled back.
And then it would be necessary to call a medical team and take him to a mental hospital. Because the role enslaved him, he was unable to express himself adequately. He became a victim of the role. The same thing happens to a person who is identified with a social or sans role. And this role eventually begins to enslave him. He becomes a slave to this role and cannot do anything else.
It turns out that if we have become a slave of one role, then we can no longer choose the best solutions in different situations. And because of this, we can get into trouble. I understand correctly?
Zachary asked.
That's right. I can give you an example,
replied the sage.
One of my students decided to become a paratrooper. He chose such a role under the influence of society's stereotypes. He watched various TV shows and movies and began to imagine himself as a pumped-up, handsome man with abs. He thought that he would go out on the street so muscular, in the form of a paratrooper, and all women would immediately be his. And eventually, he became a slave to that role and ended up in Afghanistan. He was almost killed in the war. Then he got sick with typhoid fever and came home by a miracle. He came back exhausted, sick, skinny, with a disturbed psyche. And he didn't want anything more than to come back alive. This shows how it is possible to make a wrong decision, being in the slavery of one's role. Becoming a slave of a role is dangerous because it can lead us to great trouble.
There was silence in the hall for a few seconds. Everyone was still under the impression of the example told by the master. Agatha was the first to break the silence, and her next question was directly related to the sans roles depicted in the painting.
Master, there is such a question. You said that when there are less than 12 people, one person can carry several archetypes. It turns out that these archetypes should be...
She pointed to a triangle with an upward-pointing top.
Close to each other? They can't be opposite in energy, can they? Like, you can't be a lazy pig and a working horse at the same time, can you?
Yes, Agatha. The roles must be close. If a person has tamasic energy, he will play tamasic roles. If rajasic energy predominates, he will have rajasic roles. A sattvic person will accordingly have sattvic roles. If there are three people in a group, for example, and there are 12 roles, then the three will divide the roles among themselves. Four roles for each person, or someone will play five roles, and someone will take on two.
Thank you for the clarification.
The woman thanked sincerely and immediately asked again.
Teacher, can you tell me, please, if there is a distribution into archetypes in other beings? Well, in animals, for example?
The sage listened to the new question and, after a little thought, began to answer thoroughly.
Yes, animals have such a distribution, especially those who live in packs. They have a clear hierarchy. There is a leader, there are outsiders, a goat of redemption. There are more tamasic and more rajasic individuals. And all these sans roles...
The keeper stretched out his hand in the direction of the image on the canvas.
They exist in the pack. Everything is the same as in humans.
And the planets?
Agatha asked.
Or does such distribution exist only as the universal law of three? Sattva, Rajas, and Tamas. And does it exist in other worlds?
There's a certain distribution among the planets, too,
replied the sage with certainty.
All planets are different and affect people in different ways. They are polarized, and each planet has taken its role. Each of them carries its own energy.
Teacher, from the point of view of energy, What are the zodiac signs?
There is an energy field of the earth.
He spoke, looking shrewdly at the student.
It is an energy aura, and it is divided into 12 parts. That's how zodiac scenes appear. If a planet falls into some sign, i.e. into some part of energy, it also becomes a part of this aura of the earth. And it turns out that passing in one part of the energy field, the planet acts in one way, in another part of the aura, differently, in the third, differently.
It turns out that polarization, i.e. separation, it goes in general among everything?
Specified, Irene.
And among planets and among animals and among some other creatures?
Of course.
The keeper smiled with a bright, transparent smile of a wise man who has comprehended all the laws of being.
There will be this polarization everywhere, even if we take just the Earth. Remember, there are places on our planet with different energies. There are places of power, and there are places where there is a lot of heavy, negative, inert energy. That is why everything in the world is polarized, even the matches in the box.
A mysterious expression appeared on the teacher's face.
Each match will have its own energy and its own role. Each match will manifest in its own way.
Teacher, what, for example, are the internal organs in the human body?
Melissa asked vividly, with a little bit of doubt.
Are they polarized too?
Yes, there is polarization inside a human being too. His organs, his parts inside, his chakras. Everything is polarized and carries different energy.
Melissa thought about it, and it was obvious from her face that there was an active thought process going on in her head.
And if, for example, to gather together people with the same energy, what will happen then?
She asked a new question.
Would there be polarization then too?
Even if it seems that everyone is the same, the separation is still carried out.
The sage began to explain thoroughly.
Once they conducted such an experiment, they gathered all the thieves in the law in one cell. A thief in law is the leader of the criminal world. That is, to become one, one had to possess a high level of rajasic energy. And all these leaders were in one cell. It would seem that they are all the same. They are all thieves in law. But they're not. They're not the same. They started to fight each other for leadership and started to find out who's tougher and stronger. They started shuffling and polarizing. Of all these thieves in the law, only one remained the leader. Someone was made a scapegoat. Someone was made a rooster jester, etc. Everything polarized, and the same structure that had been there appeared again.
Teacher, can I ask you something else?
Irene raised her hand.
What if a person is left alone? What happens to him? If inside a person there can be many roles, and each person has all three energies in different proportions, tamas, rajas, and sattva, then can we say that inside a person there is also such polarization of roles?
Yes.
The keeper answered, unequivocally.
And when a person is left alone, these roles also begin to polarize and interact. Talk to each other.
Great one. How does this happen? Please give me an example.
The student asked.
Usually one role talks to another.
The sage readily continued.
The active role says, I would like to do a warm-up now. And the passive role replies, No, lie down. No one can see.
The keeper of knowledge's lips stretched in a smile.
That's how they start talking to each other. Some role wins and becomes stronger, and then it is more often active in that person. Then another role can activate and defeat that role.
And this, by any chance, isn't that our internal dialogue?
Zachary asked, not hiding a little surprise.
Yes, that's exactly it. A person's inner dialogue is like a dialogue between these roles. One role talks to the other, then the third with the fourth, and so all the time.
Master, it turns out that inside a person, for example, a lazy pig can become a leader?
Zachary continued to ask questions.
And then a person will start to be lazy all the time?
Yes, and this can happen.
That then it becomes a tendency, tamasic condition? If he has been in tamas for a long time, where Will he play such roles because he gets used to it and doesn't want to become more active?
One has to look at why the person is stuck in Tomasic roles. Why he wants to be the faceless fish, the lazy pig, the goat of redemption.
At that moment, Agatha caught the sage's gaze again, with the urge to ask the question that had just arisen.
Dear teacher, there are people in my group in my city who have been in the same roles for a long time and don't want to be active.
The woman began to say,
tell me, what does a person need to do to move into another role? Provided that he does not want to become more active and he is fine in this state?
He has to get angry with himself, with his negative parts. If he starts getting angry, starts getting out of those roles, then he can make a difference. But if he is immersed in them, wants only to justify himself, or to be cunning, so that people do not notice what roles he is in, then nothing will work. A person will continue to cling to his tamas. To change something, he has to get angry at this tamas, at these attachments, at these bad habits, and then he can move into more active roles.
Thank you for your explanations.
Agatha thanked the teacher.
And please tell me, you said that every sans role has both negative and positive parts. Is it necessary to manifest all these roles only in their positive part? Or is the point to manifest them consciously?
The sage answered without hesitation.
To be conscious when I need to be,
he said.
For example, when it is time to sleep, you can be a lazy pig in your sleep. We have already said today that Christ consciously chose the role of a goat of redemption when he was crucified on the cross, because it was necessary. We should strive to manage energies inside ourselves and do everything consciously. If some role in this case is necessary for some reason, we can play it. And if this role is inappropriate, then we should choose another one. Sometimes it is necessary to be in negative roles if the situation demands it.
The next question was asked by a student who participated in the conversation only as an attentive listener. The girl, about 25 years old, with large, slightly irregular, but that made her facial features even more expressive, took a few steps towards the sage.
Master, may I ask you a question?
She began a little hesitantly, but when she met the reassuring, warm gaze of the Keeper of Knowledge, she continued a little louder and more decisively.
I have a friend with whom we are constantly, like, competing. I feel like the energy between us is polarized into yin and yang. If one of us is in a more yang position, the other automatically adopts a yin position. How do you make it so that you are in a more active position all the time?
What does it depend on?
Julia, everyone has mood swings, state swings. So many things affect us. Different aspects arise. Let's say you woke up today more rajasic. You have more strength and energy. And your friend woke up in a more tamasic state. She has less energy today. And so you will always go from one role to another. One of you is more active than the other. And to stop it, you have to be angry with yourself.
And what is there to be angry about?
Julia asked again with genuine incomprehension.
At the fact that energy appears in you chaotically. Just because some aspects came together, some circumstances happened, and it determines your state. That it is not you who sets this state. It is possible to be angry if we are in the sattvic or rajasic state. You should strive to always be in the state that you need at the moment. And to learn how to do it, to start cultivating the right energy in yourself, first you have to be angry with yourself. If we are in a passive state, then any influence, any circumstances will control us.
Julia thought for a moment, as if trying on his words, projecting them onto herself. She nodded at her thoughts and conclusions, but then she was immediately startled, remembering something important she wanted to ask.
Great Master, there was a little talk about internal dialogue. about the fact that it is, as it turns out, a dialogue between different sans roles inside us. I want to ask, am I right to understand that one should follow this dialogue very carefully because it determines what next role will arise? So, for example, if you follow the dialogue and you feel that you are about to enter a passive role, it is easier to prevent it.
Yes, Julia, you are very right in your reasoning.
The keeper of knowledge praised the student.
This is what happens. The roles lead a dialogue inside a person. And if you follow it, you can separate from these roles. Understand that these roles are not me. And this is how the spiritual personality starts to form. And this spiritual part can already guide us. For example, it can happen like this. The spiritual part wakes up and says to us, "Look, what a dialogue has started. It looks like the lazy pig is going to control us now. She's already saying that she should rest, sleep, and eat. No, let the lion leader role come on now. Let's turn on this role and generate rajasic energy to get angry with the lazy pig." And so, the spiritual part is already directing the inner dialogue in a different way, in a different direction. And so it turns on the other role that we need.
When the sage finished his explanation, another hand rose among the students. It belonged to a female student in a long orange robe who was standing closer to the wall, almost next to the painting. The woman pointed to the left corner of the triangle before asking her question.
"Teacher, do I understand correctly that our path to Sattva lies like this?"
And she drew an imaginary line from the goat of redemption to the lion leader and from him to the vulture priest.
"You mean from left to right?"
"If so, then it turns out that the white crow, she is the farthest from the vulture priest. I mean, she can't just take one step and come to him. Does she have to go all the way around the triangle?"
"No, she doesn't have to go all the way around the triangle. In fact, the white crow is also a sattvic role. So is the noble stag. And they too can turn on in us depending on circumstances. When a person has a lot of sattvic energy, he makes a choice which way to go, to become a white crow or a noble stag. He starts an inner dialogue. A person starts clinging to everything. This is not so for him. The other is not so. And then he starts mentally defending rules, order, moral principles. For example, he may say, 'The teacher said to do it this way, so we should do it this way.' And this is the dialogue he wins. And this is the sans role he will play in this case."
The disciple, having listened to the master's explanations, decided to ask a clarifying question.
"And the role of the priest in us, in this case, when is it activated?"
"When sattva is activated in us, active thinking begins, and all three sattvic roles can be activated: white crow, noble stag, or vulture priest. The vulture priest is in the middle, and he is watching the inner dialogue. He is already above and observes, as if from above, what is happening. And he draws conclusions. If negativity, condemnation starts, this is the white crow. If a person defends some ideals, it is the noble stag. When the vulture priest turns on, he is already observing and thinking what role should be included. That is, he is already trying to control it. And to enter the role of the vulture priest, we should form a spiritual personality and correctly direct this inner dialogue in the right direction by our spiritual part. And then it will be possible to choose any role that is necessary in a given situation, and not just to act chaotically under the influence of different aspects."
The student's face lit up with understanding, and she stepped back gratefully to give others the opportunity to ask their questions. And they did not stop. The topic of sans roles was a difficult one, but it gripped the students, and many questions arose. For example, how to relate this topic to the knowledge they had received from the master earlier.
Master, how does the San role of White Crow differ from the manifestation of essence?
Agatha asked.
It seems to me that it is so easy to confuse.
Yes, indeed. A person can have an overdeveloped negative part of the intellectual center of the essence,
said the sage.
And then he sees everything as bad, criticizes everything. Everything is wrong. That is, it can come from the essence, or it can come, for example, from the personality. For example, when a person has been indoctrinated that it is fashionable to be a critic, and he thinks, if you criticize everybody, then you can seem smart. That comes from the personality. So maybe he doesn't really want to criticize. He's lazy, or he wants to do something else, but he criticizes. What if they think I'm a fool if I don't start criticizing now? But if I start expressing my arguments, I will be considered smart. And such a white crow will already come from the personality.
The sage looked carefully at his disciple, trying to assess how much she was absorbing his words. Agatha lowered her eyes understandingly and raised them again.
Yes, master. I realize that the white crow archetype can come from either the essence or the personality. If from the essence, the person himself wants to criticize everything. He's already being criticized, hated, condemned. But he continues because it comes from the essence, and he doesn't realize that it is necessary to show himself adequately. And when it comes from the personality, it will always be posturing.
That's right,
continued the sage.
And in this case, a person will show himself in this way only if someone is watching, if there is an audience. And if there is no one, then he stops doing it, because he doesn't need it and doesn't want to do it.
Master, can only the white crow be a critic? Can't the lazy pig, for example? He doesn't want to do anything himself, but only criticizes.
No.
The keeper shook his head negatively.
A lazy pig will just passively cower in a corner and lie there. For example, it will fall asleep during practice. But a crow will not do that. She doesn't sleep because she has a lot of sattvic energy. She does not sit still, and she starts judging everyone, criticizing. Something is wrong with her all the time. Because it is a sattvic role, it is connected with activity.
Can it happen that a person comes to a seminar, receives subtle energy, but he does not have the habit of directing it correctly to the highest? So he starts directing it to criticism?
Yes, it can happen. If he is used to criticize everything, this role is very strong here. And then, having received sattvic energy, he will direct it to criticism. If he comes to a store, he will criticize that something has not been filled, that something has not been given to him, that the goods are not in the right package. If he comes to a seminar, he will criticize that everything will be wrong there too. They did it wrong. They didn't give him candy or honey. Wherever this person comes to, there will be quarrels, discord, conflicts, condemnations.
When the sage finished, a dark-haired, swarthy fellow raised his hand.
Great master, here we try to practice and consciously play different roles, and it happens that you can't think of what role to play. And the only thing that comes to mind is, for example, the role of a bully. And for something good, there is not enough imagination.
In the intonation of the guy flashed a sense of guilt, and he waved his hands.
Tell me, how can we turn on our imagination and choose the roles that will develop us?
Yes, Tyler. We should try to choose roles that will help us develop. That is, not just entering some role that we already have.
The keeper of knowledge thought for a moment, selecting a suitable example.
Let's say, for example, someone is always sitting in the role of the faceless fish, and when he starts practicing, he suddenly thinks, "Let me play the role of the faceless fish today."
The master smiled and paused to emphasize the absurdity and ridiculousness of such a decision. Laughs broke out among the students.
Of course, it will not help a person to develop,
continued the sage,
because he decided to play what is easier for him, what he is already in. And for development, it is necessary to play a role that is not familiar to us, that is difficult for us to play. Then it will contribute to spiritual development.
How to be in a strong role all the time?
Tyler asked a new question.
A strong role requires a strong state. And that means that you must constantly maintain this state in yourself. You need to be angry at yourself, be active, start taking increased responsibility, and then you will have a strong role.
The master stopped again and looked around at the disciples. The spiritual conversation had been going on for a long time, and he felt that many of the disciples were eager to practice, to apply the knowledge they had received, to work on it. And yet some still had questions about sans role.
Irene, is there anything else you would like to ask?
The sage looked at the student, encouraging her to speak. The girl nodded.
Yes, Master, I wanted to ask what influences our predominant roles more? A person's personal astrological aspect or programs indoctrinated in childhood?
There is a set of roles that we are indoctrinated with in childhood. For example, a person has been indoctrinated with Ten Sans role, and he has developed them. And when a personal astrological aspect comes in, the situation develops in such a way that the person falls into one of these roles.
Can you give me an example?
Irene asked.
Well, for example, a bad astrological aspect came, and we began to attack a person, and he entered the role of Goat of Redemption. Some other aspect has developed, and he has entered the role of the Flattering Jackal, or the third aspect has developed, and the person has entered the role of the Friendly Dog. Aspects switch a person to one of the roles he already has, and our task is to detach ourselves from the roles. We need to think like this. What is this? Why is a set of roles constantly switched on against my will and I can't control it? I must detach myself from the roles and be able to play any role on my own without any influence. A person can develop a new role in himself and play it. He can stop being a slave of these roles. And one should start by observing oneself and one's roles.
Dear teacher, tell me, but during spiritual practices, when we do them in a group, is there also distribution of sans roles between people? Or during spiritual practices, the false personality is switched off, so there is no such division?
Melissa asked.
It depends on what kind of practice,
the sage explained.
If the inner dialogue is switched off, there should be no roles in this state. On the contrary, if some role appears in the mind, then the person is already deprived of silence, and the play of the mind begins again. And there are spiritual practices when division into roles is necessary. For example, someone is leading a training, and he fulfills the role of a priest. Someone helps him, fulfilling the role of the noble stag and the lion leader. Someone becomes a white crow. He does not get involved in the practice, but starts to criticize it. Someone becomes a lazy pig and falls asleep during the class. That is, if there is a group practice, when people do something together, the division into roles is bound to happen.
Kelly quickly raised her hand, apparently having remembered some question exactly in line with what was said.
In many group practices, I notice that people very often show themselves from the position of a lazy pig. They don't want to do anything. They slip into passive laziness. What does the facilitator need to do to activate this field?
It means that we need to start doing something active to get them excited.
The keeper replied and began to explain in more detail.
For example, to do the practice standing up, or to warm up before the practice, to bring people out of the state of tamas, to cheer them up. In the state of tamas, practice does not work. People begin to literally fall asleep, and it will no longer be practice. It will not be useful.
Teacher, I have noticed that when you are in a weak role, it is very difficult to make any effort.
Agatha began to speak, taking the floor again.
But when you enter a strong role, the same effort is easier to make. And what is more development? Getting into this strong role?
Naturally, you have to change into a different role,
confirmed the sage.
In the beginning, we cannot start acting differently without changing roles. But often a person gets stuck in one role and cannot get out of it. He thinks, I am now in the role of a lazy pig, and they tell me to be a lion leader or in some other active role. But how will I part with the role of a pig? And a person cannot move to another role normally because he clings to his former role, clings to it. If a person had been detached from it, he would have quietly moved into another role. That is why it is so important that we learn to detach ourselves from our roles.
The Keeper of Knowledge said the final words, and there was silence in the hall. The flow of questions had temporarily dried up, and the disciples, with enlightened, enthusiastic faces, were reflecting on everything that had been said during the long spiritual conversation. The sage was about to end it when a lone hand hesitantly rose among the disciples. It belonged to a girl who had only listened to the spiritual talk but had not asked a single question. And only now, at the end, she found the strength to do so. The master smiled encouragingly, sending the girl the energy of support. And then she spoke.
Master, you talked a lot about roles. What should I do if the role is already rooted in all the centers of the essence?
At first, the words sounded timid and uncertain. But as the student described her feelings, her voice stopped shaking and the words came out more confident and emotional.
I often want to ask a question at Darshan, but my body stiffens. My mind gets confused, and I feel that my mind is like a white sheet. I cannot formulate a question. All my thoughts disappear as if in one moment. Swadhisthana shrinks. There's fear in the emotional center. I cannot raise my hand. My voice disappears. And I cannot get rid of this role. And so, the whole darshan is like this, and I can't hear what Guru is saying. I try to ask a question. And then, as in a dream, it sounds like the conversation has come to an end for today. But my whole life will be spent on these meaningless roles. Help me.
The girl looked hopefully into the sage's eyes, and he answered her with a radiant flow of good energy, of acceptance, and love.
You just have a lot of yin energy, and that's why you can't get out of the role of the faceless fish,
he said softly.
But never mind. You have to activate, enter the yang state, awaken rajas and sattva in yourself. Actively participate in everything. Ask if you have any questions. If something is said, try to absorb it directly, to remember it for the rest of your life. Then there will be a normal state. One should squat, get angry with oneself properly before the meeting. This should help to enter a more yang, active state and to change the role.
Thank you, Master,
the girl said with sincere gratitude.
I will try to do that before every conversation.
A smile of enthusiasm appeared on her face. The sage smiled back and looked around at all those present and summarized the conversation.
Today we have broken down the 12 sans roles, and now it is up to you to make sense of it all and keep working on yourselves. Watch the roles change. We can only see our roles when we have awakened, and all of you who are here have already done that and are going in the direction of spiritual development. So you can see by your inner dialogue, by your energy, what role is working in you now. At the beginning, it can be difficult, but if we observe and understand ourselves, we will begin to see these roles quite well. We will develop the habit of observing ourselves, and we will immediately identify our own roles and the roles of other people around us. And then we will be able to enter the right state and change roles, choose the right ones according to our needs.
The keeper of knowledge made a meaningful pause, and the words of a spiritual poem sounded from his lips.
Breaking away from the colors of deceit, you raised your head high and looked into the heaven as you wearily made your hands meet, where the star twinkled far away in the sky. Turn to it with a fierce prayer. How tired of earthly sufferings you are. The secret of the world's joy I will share, if only your heart would peace bear. Contemplating the emptiness in the far, do not be sad about the lived treasure. It will not remain in the past. It's just a moment, only an echo of blessed pleasure, the one that we are destined to outlast.
Do you want to know more? Watch the animated masterpiece that reveals the mysteries of humanity. Discover more sacred knowledge in books. You can meet the main characters of books at our seminars. Find your amulet of power. Participate in an individual ritual. Open free channel with daily spiritual practices for yourself. All these you will find on our website www.amazon1.org. Share this book and spread the great knowledge. Then people's lives will change for the better, and you will accumulate good karma and be able to help all your loved ones.